Thank you, Lord. All right, this is Sunday morning, 8:13:23. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title is Skewing the View. It's going to be an interesting word here, y'all. All right. Think about Gideon's army. I'm going to read a little bit, and then we'll look at some scriptures. The reason so many preachers, even fivefold ministry gifts, have not rightly discerned the times is because of indoctrination. The church of today, for the most part, are not even aware of what is going on in the world. They are in their own empire, exclusive in hearing no evil, seeing no evil, speaking no evil. They have walled themselves off from the world. I said to go into all the world. I said to infiltrate and not isolate. So many have taught doctrines of men about the rapture theory, not fact according to the scriptures. They've been taught and staunchly believe that it is the wicked. It's evil for the wicked for the Christian and good for the evil. Isn't that what they believe? The 7 years, you know, they're talking about the Antichrist, fixed step up, all the mess. The signs of the times are to be viewed by what the Spirit is showing on the inside, not from signs of the outside. Anytime the church and individual believers begin to use fleeces, they get fleeced. Lord, if this is you, give me a sign. They won't believe it because they cannot see it in the natural world. The truth is that since the fall of man, this evil Antichrist system has been at work in the world. It is in my word for all to see. It is to be discerned by my spirit. I said that I would lead and guide you into all truth, not fallacy, not myths and legends, not doctrines of men. The beast was cast out of heaven, shut up in the garden, and he is soon to be cast off the face of the earth and thrown into the pit. All this is my book of disclosure for all to see. Do you know why they say, no, it isn't the end of the time, or end of time? No, it isn't, that it isn't the time for the rapture. It's because there is no rapture. It seems to be the hardest thing for my people to grasp that I made the earth for them. I want them to occupy it, and then I will come and live with you. I will, at the end of the thousand-year reign, make a new heaven and a new earth. Earth is your home. Why do my people want to always leave it instead of occupying it? I mean, that's what God did. He come down in the cool evening and walked with his man. All right, Revelation 12. Starting with verse 7, it tells the story. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You know, it makes me wonder, with everything that's going on, how people can't see that it's the devil at work. They seem to forget that fact. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and all the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. You notice here it didn't say they overcame by being raptured out? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. So he's come to the earth to persecute. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, times and half time, from the face of the serpent. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. You know, I think about that, the flood of fake news, disinformation that is just everywhere. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is what has happened since the garden experience. Satan was kicked out and he come to earth and started in. And he hasn't quit. And he's not about to quit until that angel lassos him and puts him in the pit. All right. This is my thought here. At the judgment, we're not going to be judged by our last day theories, but by what we did with what he gave us. Mary was telling me this. She was talking about sudden death experiences or whatever they call those where people died and came back. There was a common thread throughout the whole of all the testimonies. Mainly, He is more concerned about you, your love, the love you had, than anything else. But she said this, he always asked them, what have you done with what I ask you to do? Nothing else mattered. All right, we're going to look at this. This is Matthew 24. Verse 44 there. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, finds so doing. In other words, you're busy. You're doing what he told you to do till he came. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunk, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what is this all about? It's about everyone, regardless of who care, whose opinion or whatever. We do what God has required of us. There's really not a whole lot. That's it. All right. From the time that Donald John Trump came into office as a military president to present day, he is still the commander-in-chief. It has been 7 years. People talk about the seven-year tribulation. 7 years of Antichrist making all our lives miserable, from COVID to inflation. Think about it. How the world's changed in 7 years. I would say this has been tribulation. I'm thinking, it don't get any worse than this. Unless maybe the devil took us all out. That's the agenda. That's the agenda he will continue to push until he is stopped. I don't know why people can't see that. To me, it's like the nose on your face. Satan waged a war on mankind, especially the God kind of man. It is a battle for the earth, your home. If an alien invasion happened in your area, you would not rise to the occasion. If an alien invasion happened in your area, would you not rise to the occasion to defend it? Yeah, I think so. Verse 11, they overcame him because they were raptured out? No, because they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Notice here, it doesn't say rapture anywhere. Most just want to escape and not obey my commission to go and occupy. It's easier to escape, isn't it? The mountain mandate of religion has been completely infiltrated. Doctrines of men have replaced me and my word. They just want me to rescue them. They are no better than the rebellious bunch coming out of Egypt. Now, we've talked about this, about the give me my gold and give it now and kill all the bad people. I'm thinking, what's wrong with this picture? Why are we here to occupy? What are we occupying? Well, we're occupying the land and filling it with the kingdom of God, and as opposed to the Satan system, right? Isn't that what he told Adam? He said, I made all this great and good stuff, now go and occupy. Keep it in order. Fill the whole earth with it. He doesn't ask much of us. He really doesn't. That's why the training that you've received is very important, because you've learned to follow the Spirit. See, I think that's the problem with most people, because you can ask a person, well, do you know what God's will is for you? No, he didn't call me to do nothing. More times than not, that's what you'll hear. I don't know. But when you learn his voice and he begins to speak to you, then he can tell you directly what he wants you to do, and you can do it. And even though it might be hard, at least you know in your heart, I'm right in the center of God's will, and that brings you peace, because you can know whenever you stand before him, he can say, well done. All right. Most just want to escape and not obey my commission to go and occupy. They'd rather muck it up and say, now get me out of here. Instead of changing it. The mountain mandate of religion has completely been infiltrated. I mean, it's amazing to me. But there's a remnant. Take heart. There's a remnant today. Gideon's army, basically, if you want to just put it in a nutshell. Go over to Psalm 78. See if this sounds familiar to you. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Well, we've missed this right here to this generation. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Our children have been left to the mockingbird. Women wanted careers, not to raise their children. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who would arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, or generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law, and forget his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an angel east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him. They returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did not flatter him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. Had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs which destroyed them. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence and smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength and the tabernacles of Ham. You know, we're seeing this today. We're seeing this very thing. God has taken out the deep state. But are we hearing repentance? Are we hearing the right attitude coming from the supposed white hats or the truthers? Are we? I hear things that disturb me greatly. And I smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham. But made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. And he led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to this mountain, which is his right hand had purchased. He cast out the heathen also before them, and he divided them an inheritance by line and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him jealously with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. You know, with Israel, all they did was they kept going into captivity because they would not follow the Lord. The bad part about that is the ones that are doing right have to suffer along with them. He gave his people over also into the sword and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given into marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their wisdom made no lamentation. Then the Lord awakened as one but of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine, he smote his enemies in the hinder parts, but put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacles of Joseph, and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah. Now, the Mount Zion, which he loved. That's where Jesus comes in, Judah. And he built his sanctuary like high places, like the earth which he hath established forever. He chose David also, a servant took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. You think God loves doing this? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. The Lord said, continues here, I've called a remnant in this day and hour that will know the truth, and they have my power that will lead my people to victory. They are like Gideon's army. While everyone else has been waiting to escape, I've been training my Gideon's army to show my people the way to overcome. They will teach my ways and not the traditions of men. We're going to go look at Gideon's army. Go to Judges chapter 6. This is the only one today, but it's going to be a little lengthy, so don't shut it off. Because it's going to take some turns. All right. Let me get a drink here. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Sound familiar? And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Some people lost their homes. Sound familiar? And it was so when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they camped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till they come into Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Food shortages, maybe? Can't get stuff to you? Cost too much money? Inflation? For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Hiked the gas prices. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. I'm thinking, Lord, how much worse does it have to get before your people are going to finally come out of this awful mindset that I'm hearing? And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I bought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And if there be an angel of the Lord that said under, and there came an angel of the Lord and said unto her, an oak which was in Oprah. Hawaii. Oprah. That pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. It's all God's fault. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Yesterday I was watching the Iowa Fair thing, and it's all about Trump saving everything. And I thought, it's not Trump saving anything. It's God. It's not about a candidate. It's about a nation turning back to God. This is what this is about. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is the poorest of Manasseh, and I am the least in all my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. See, the church, the people of God, have faith to take the land and to occupy, but they're saying, no, God's holding out on us. We ain't going to do something. And God said, no, you get up and do something. Isn't that what the angel's saying to him? You go. The God will be with you. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Well, he's standing right there. Well, if I have 5 red cars pass by my house, I'll know that God is talking to me. All right. I'm telling you, this is the way people think. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come to thee and bring, oh Lord, if you do this, we'll just open this door. Brother Hagin always said, if you use fleeces, you get fleeced. This is supernatural. This is not natural. We're not looking to natural circumstances to deliver us. A natural leader, a natural Nasera, Jasera, AI-powered system? Are we just going from one bad thing to another? Only God knows. But I'm not looking to that. I hope you aren't either. Depart from hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour of the flesh. He put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived, that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Finally, he's going to do something. The Lord's telling him to do something. It's been in your hand all along. I left the land to you. And built an altar unto the Lord thy God, unto the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a second sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. So he kind of snuck around and did it because he was scared. But he did it. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he had cast down the altar of Baal. There's people today that have had to stand up against the altar of Baal. Whether it be abortion, what they're trying to push on the children with the transgender. They've been targeted because they've stood up and they have tried to make a difference. He hath cast down the altar of Baal because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. And all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth besides, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, if he rose up early on the morning or morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. There be dew. God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all on the ground. You know, there's a programmer out there, FCB, out of Australia. He kind of has a potty mouth, but there's one thing about this guy. He says he's a Christian, and I believe he is. The fact is, he says, you know what? You don't even need med beds. You don't even need currency. He's talking about the kingdom of God and how things are in the kingdom of God. Everybody are counting on these natural things to be their salvation and their savior. I'm thinking he's on to something right there. As we develop in our faith, there isn't anything that we cannot have. And we don't need a med bed to do it, and we don't need Nacera to do it, if it comes to that. If they want to say, well, you cannot have your benefits if you do not contribute to our humanitarian projects, what's the difference in what we're under now? I don't have the answer for this, but I just have to believe, God, that this is His doing, what's going on here, and until we get to the place that, like Gideon, and stand up, and I know we are doing that, but so many are not, this is why it is the way it is. These are the delays. It's His church that's the delay. It's not because there's so many bad guys. Because if the church stood up right now and started taking care of them demons behind them bad guys, we wouldn't have any bad guys. The Lord wants us to get our mindset right. Don't lock into this thing and all these natural things. Because I know this for a fact. You give somebody money, can't handle money, that's a curse. They'll be right back where they were. All right, let's keep going. We're going to read a couple more chapters. All right, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, said the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh. In the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. He's probably saying, say what? Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. God hates it when we number. David got into the worst trouble he ever did by numbering the people. See, God gets the glory by using a few. Now therefore go in, proclaim it in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. You've been hearing about the 300? I never have looked into that exactly what they're talking about, but we know what God's talking about here. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his plain, another place. In other words, if you're scared, go home. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto thine hand. But thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, now unto the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down unto Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that was told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow entered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned to the host of Israel, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. He just needed some encouragement, didn't he? He's all beat down. He's worn out and beat down. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. They put a trumpet into each man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Kind of like Joshua. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abel Meholah unto Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and pursued all the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take therefore them the waters unto Beth Bara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Bara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock of Oreb. And Zeb, they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side. They did it without a weapon. Not one weapon. Well, we know the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. I believe God is waiting on us to get our strategy together as the body of Christ, because we hold the key. I heard someone yesterday trash Christians. I'm so fed up with Christians and blah, blah, blah. And he says he's one. And I didn't appreciate it much. And I woke up at 3:30 this morning and thinking, okay, why am I awake? So I got up, and sure enough, the Lord began to speak to me about this. And we'll look at that a little bit later. I just wanted to read this about Gideon. Let's go over to 2 Timothy now. Later in this teaching, I'll bring that back up. 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Does that sound like today? Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All right. Let's read the first 8 verses of 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Didn't say rapture there. It said as his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. All right, now we're going to take a little turn here. The condition of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions are the lens, the view, the filter which my revelation comes through. Now think about that. The lens, the view, the filter. My revelation is trying to come through junk that is in the mind. Junk. All right, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Y'all know this scripture very well. This is what we're told to do to clean out the junk. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, you're dead. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right. Now listen to me carefully. The more infiltrated the mind is with the things of this world, the less truth can come through. See, the God of this world is blind to the minds of the unbelievers that they cannot see the truth. This is why we see in so many skewed views, even in the church. Strongholds of the mind prevent a clear view. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 9 and 10. Now, he's talking about love here, these first 8 verses. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Then Paul says this, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, which is love. So what's he talking about here? The love walk is what brings that maturity. See, when I was a child, I acted like a child. I saw things from that viewpoint. But as I became a man, I began to see a different view of things, right? All right. That's what will happen. This is my thoughts on this. Have you ever heard someone prophesy things that you know are wrong? I remember Brother Hagin talking about some woman saying, I'm scared of this and I'm scared of that. This was in a prophecy. Never forget, it's coming through a human filter. And depending on how renewed that mind is, that filter may not be as pure as it needs to be. Even though the perfect word of God's coming through, it's still coming through that person's intellect, their mind. All right. I've heard prophecies where they say they saw the earth spinning and saw the planets and all the solar system. Well, according to Scripture, that ain't so. It's what they learn in school. Okay? the Scripture plainly lays it out that the earth is stationary and at rest. It's even on pillars. It has a foundation. There's a deal. I wrote all the Scriptures down, field posted. It was about, I think it's 65 Scriptures that show the rotation of the sun and not one about the rotation of the earth. It's the truth. All right. There's a dome over our heads and the planets are called wandering stars. This skewed view is from infiltration of the propaganda machine. The prophecy is coming through their soul. The gift is of the Spirit, but the view is being skewed. There is a reason that Paul said to have other prophets judge prophecy in the assembly. Why? Most people have a skewed view. All right. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 29. Let the prophets speak, two or three, and let the other judge. Boy, there'd be a whole lot less prophecy. They're coming out of every corner right now from every prophet under the sun. I'm going, and they're all saying something different, and most of them believe in the rapture. And I'm talking well-known, televised, mega church. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and that all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So in an assembly, you have two or three prophets, and one will prophesy, and the other three judge it. Boy, I tell you what, I bet you would be careful what you said, right? There'll be a lot less loose lips sinking ships and having 40, 50, 60 prophecies coming forth all over the United States and everybody's saying something that you know to not be true. I'm telling you, it's indoctrination. All right. If someone brings a prophecy that is inaccurate, are they evil? No. I know somebody right now that they say on their program or their podcast, if you don't believe in the rapture, you're a false teacher. That's quite an accusation. Just because they have a different view from you, they're a false teacher? Yeah. Indoctrination. I know about that indoctrination. I used to have it until the Lord took me aside and began to show me the truth. I used to think the same way. But I wasn't a false teacher then either. You understand? Okay, let me pick up here where. All right, if someone brings a prophecy that is inaccurate, are they evil? No, they're just subject to a skewed view based on how renewed they are in their mind. Most probably get most of it right. They probably get most of it right, but there may be a few things in it. I know that's not right. All right, verse 33, right here. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Wow, that's why the prophets are there to judge, is so there's no confusion. Because you got 50 prophets all bringing something different, and everybody's going, who are we supposed to believe? That's what happens when everybody does their own thing. God is not the author of confusion. Today there's so many prophecies going around, you really must be very cautious about who you listen to. Most mean well, but that does not mean that they are necessarily accurate. When we speak for God, we must speak based on revelation from the Lord and not from doctrines of men. Yeah. All right. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul makes this statement. It is expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Then verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This was to keep him in check. Right here, revelations means disclosure. God is disclosing to Paul, well, he wrote the epistles, most of them. So God is disclosing to Paul, which revelation means disclosure, to Paul about himself. All right. We must be careful of this personally and corporately as the church. All right, go to Matthew 17 now. And after 6 days, verse 1, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. See, we get stuck up and hung up on doctrines. Mark 9 is also the same. Let me read that because it had a little different spin on it. Mark 9. Starting with verse 1. And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Don't build on an experience. Hear him. God spoke directly. Peter, hear him. No, but I want to build a tabernacle of the first transfiguration. Is that what happens? Men have an experience. Take Joseph Smith, for instance. Wow. I personally believe that the restoration of the apostles and prophets in this day and hour is the Gideon's army. They will bring the church back into God's order, and God's government will then be in a place to be raised up as his government in the earth. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a whole lot of teaching. But it's going to take a church with accountability to do so. Okay, Hebrews 13. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There's so many people that I could have helped. A lot of them were dead. And I feel so sad sometimes because they just wouldn't hear. You can't make people do things. If we are not doing it God's way, doesn't that put us in the place of doing it the devil's way? There's only two masters, right? If you're walking the way of the flesh, you're walking the way of that other master, whether you think so or not. There are no gray areas, not at all. Are those that are not following the Spirit giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils? Could be. Huh? Are they bowing their knees to Baal? You know, we talked about Gideon, the altars of Baal. The moment that he started to come against the altar of Baal, he started getting persecution. All right, go to Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1 says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now in this, I didn't read all this part. It's his description, and it said his voice was like the sound of many waters. So we're talking a pretty awesome, probably frightful experience. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and built, hath patience, and for thy namesake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. I mean, they were putting up with this stuff then that we're putting up with today. This is the Baal worship, the child and human sacrifice, and all this blood drinking and all this mess. The very things they lay down in the book of Acts that Christians were not to participate in. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. But him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Yeah, the Gazarians. Before that, it was the Phoenicians. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Now holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast his tongue and plot for the children of Israel. Same stuff. Molech, Baal. Before the children of Israel, eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, which is the same, that same doctrine. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcome, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receiveth it. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou servest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. You mean like children? This has been going on, all of this. I'm thinking, why should people be surprised? This has been going on since day one in the garden. This stuff started. We're still dealing with the same problem. God's people are still dealing with the same stuff because they've not taken their authority. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. You talk about this sweet Jesus thing. A lot of people, oh, Jesus wouldn't send somebody to hell. Think again. He has no choice. He has to honor your choice. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan. That's the depths of Satan. Just so happens they do it deep in the earth. As they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, I'll give him the morning star. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now you know why he's going to rule with a rod of iron. There's not going to be any getting away with this stuff. Not in this new church. Mm-mm, not happening. They just have to go off in the corner and have their little temper fit or whatever. But it ain't going to be that way anymore. Can't be. Why? Because this crap will come back. Well, two masters. Flesh or spirit? Flesh goes back under bondage. The spirit frees us from bondage. If we really, as a nation, want to be free, I can't even remember who said it yesterday. Without God, we will not have freedom. It doesn't matter. They better get on God's side of God. Whatever they do, it better be on the side of God, or it won't be freedom and it won't be good. All right, Galatians 5. All this stuff they're doing is a work of the flesh. Verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Then how come we just keep getting entangled over and over and over and over and over and over again? Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. For I testify again, every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now you got people, some are doing the law, some are trying to be a Christian and do the law. Can't do it. Flesh and spirit. That's how the devil gets in. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. All this Jew junk they're trying to bring in on the church is just going to level the whole up. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It's the devil. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. Now, I'm talking to you about a skewed view. You got Christians and all they talk about is all their special diets. All these things. And you better have church on Saturday. And yeah, you know, you better do this. You better, you know, all the stuff that the Jews do. There is no more Jew. Not to a Christian. The church has no Jews. There's no Jew nor Greek, male nor female. Then why are all these doctrines blowing through the church to try to put women back under bondage and try to... It's the devil trying to leaven the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. That's the problem. The whole body has to be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. If you're spouting that stuff, whoa, look out. The Lord's not going to look kindly on that. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Here we come back to love. Like Mary said, the people. She said the biggest thing that they said about this whole experience was love. What mattered the most was love. For all the laws fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I am to the point that I am so to the, I can hardly stand to hear the bashing of other Christians, just bashing the, bashing and bashing and bashing just because they have a different view. God's not pleased with that. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And y'all know, I've read to you over and over and over and over and over about the works of the flesh, the works of the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The Mosaic law? Any... All right, 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and he did... All drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our, example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherewith let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judging what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. This is what all this human and child trafficking is about, and adrenochrome drinking. This is to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. That no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. See, it's looking after your neighbor, loving your neighbor as yourself, looking after other people and seeing to them over yourself. That's what it's talking about here. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered and sacrificed unto idols, in other words, it's probably human meat. Eat not for the sake that showed it, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience I say not my own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Rather, therefore, ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give not offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Then Paul says, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. Same thing happened with Peter in Acts chapter 10. Lord gave him that vision of rise, Peter, kill and eat. Oh, no, sir, no, no. Never, none of that's ever touched my lips. He said, well, I call it clean, you eat it. What was he talking about? Gentiles. Mindsets skew views. Mixture skews views. Mixture. Knowing what you believe. Stand in what you believe. What the Lord's shown you is true. Not being back and forth and double-minded all the time. All right, Revelation chapter 9. Verse 21. Talking about the cabal here. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. That's what's sending them to the pit. 18:23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Talking about Babylon. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorceries were all nations deceived. Right here, sorceries means medication, magic, pharmacy. We can all agree today about big pharma. All right, over the last few decades, the Lord has showed me in different ways. The first was the ribbon campaigns. Yep. Then the diagnostic trickery, the testing of the machines, lights turning this way or doing certain things would say you have this or you have that. Yeah. It's more like your numbers. Okay, every fifth one, we're going to have this light come on. You know what I'm saying? We'll get $1 million out of them, you know, with the diagnosis. I'm telling you, it's the way it is. They're witch doctors. All right, clean and unclean, the holistic side of the propaganda machine. The diet industry. All of it's another head on the slave snake. All right, James talks about being double-minded, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You got to know what you believe, and you got to stick with what you believe. All right, even the clergy, just listen to a few, you'll see it. Different ones, you'll see this skewed view. You will see this mixture coming out. That's why I just don't listen to anybody. Very seldom. And then sometimes if I do, I come away confused. I said, Lord, this goes a bit against what you told me. All right, 2 Peter 1. Well, let's read 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. In other words, it's not a soul prophecy. It comes by revelation out of the Spirit. All right. Mixture is very dangerous because it will eventually leaven the whole lump. Paul expresses his concern about this. He confronted Peter about his double-mindedness. I mean, he called him out. We know the story. Because he saw how deadly it was to the church, the new church, that Old Testament leaven would level the whole lump. He was concerned, just as the serpent beguiled Eve, that when he left, that the church would be beguiled again. Right here, beguiled means seduced wholly, just like Eve in Genesis chapter 3. All right. We got a little ways to go. Do you need to get up? You want to pause and get up? Okay. 2 Peter 2:14. Says here, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. I tell you, beguiling, deluding, means to delude. A soul full of junk skews the view. All right, I asked the Lord this question. I asked, how come so few in the body of Christ are discerning the times? This is what he said. He said, in the beginning days of the church age, when my son came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, I sent one man, and his name was John. He came to prepare the way for my son through the baptism of repentance. Repentance brings my people back into right standing with me. In fact, it means reversal or a change of mind. Repentance means that a person is making a reversal in their life. They are ready to hear what the Spirit is saying instead of their religious dogmas. The religious leaders of that day, for the most part, did not give John any credibility. And later, they didn't give my son any credibility either. It is the same today. This is the beginning of my kingdom come. My will be done in earth as in heaven. The common people believed readily, but the religious leaders were the hardest to reach. Jesus had a personal encounter with Nicodemus. He came to see Jesus at night. You know, Nick at night. That is a good indication of the strong pull on the religious leaders of the time and this time. Just like the parable says, new wine cannot be put into new wineskins. All right. Yeah, repent means to think differently or to reconsider. All the signals are ahead are saying to the church leaders, bridge out, bridge out. You need to make a detour, bridge out. It's going to be hard for a lot of these well-known leaders with well-established ministries and have thought they have come into their own to adapt. It will be so easy for them to say the old is better. In my son's day, those leaders thought the old covenant was better because the old wineskin will not allow them to repent and change their mind for the better. Sadly, it's no different today. They will say, I worked 40 years to get where I am at, and I'm not changing now. It will result in their abandoning me and going their own way, because God will leave the building. He's leaving. Just like he rent the curtain and he vacated the Holy of Holies, he's not going back in that box for the Jews or anybody else. It is sad for me to see so many stuck in their religious ruts, but now at least I understand what's going on. I already said that to you. I told you about the lady, you know, the podcaster, that if you don't believe in the rapture, you're a false teacher. Well, they called Jesus Beelzebub. Yeah. I'm not going to read about Nick, but he met Jesus at night. Jesus imparted to him the truth. But you never hear about Nick, except after Jesus was crucified, he comes and helps them bury him. And you never hear about Nick anymore. I hope Nick got it. He knew something was there, but he was afraid. Afraid of what his peers would say. All right? All right, this is what the Lord brought this morning. It's talking about God's family. This is what the Lord began to say to me. Christians are the most persecuted people on this flat earth. The world hates us, and so does the devil. He unfortunately incites Christians to turn on each other. We are Christ's body. For a Christian to turn on another Christian is terrible. Yeah? Now, I have a couple of scriptures here. This is Acts chapter 1. No, Acts 8. Sorry. I got up with this in my face, what I heard this person say about Christians. Right here. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hating men and women, committed them to prison. Chapter 9. And Saul was yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, and went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city. It shall be told thee what thou must do. Jesus considered the attacks against Christians, his church, an attack against himself. That's what the Laura was heard about this morning. They attacked him, who they say they love. How will the world know that we are his disciples? By how much we criticize one another? Well, they don't believe the way I do. That's not the way the Lord sees it. Right here, John 13, 35. You know, when Apollos, he was a teaching, you know, and Aquila and Priscilla, he was preaching mightily. He was very skilled in what he was doing, but he didn't have the full light. And so they pulled him aside and probably in a very gentle manner instructed him further. Okay, John 13, 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, Christians are weary right now, especially the ones that are really holding the line. I just want to say, you Budinskys don't know what you're talking about. Because if it wasn't for the digital soldiers wouldn't be doing anything, or the natural military, if it wasn't for those, Gideon's army holding the line. Standing in the gap, taking out the real problem, which is the demonic entities that all the ones before us allowed to continue. All right. We are to be known by the love we have for one another and not the criticism we have for one another. If we feel someone is not doing right, how do we handle it? I'm going to just read just a few more scriptures and because I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what are we supposed to do? This is Luke 12, 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. In other words, the Lord has called each of us to do something, and who is man that he would criticize what the Lord has called you to do? Because see, he was upset. He's from another nation. And he said, there's not a pastor, there's not a Christian that stepped up. We have a full-term abortion on demand there. And not one Christian has showed up to do anything or speak out against anything. None of the churches, none of the pastors. Y'all need to step up. I'm going, well, I'm sure there are people that have those areas covered in God's body to step up. But if the Lord's told you to do a certain thing, what are you supposed to do? Because what he said, you're supposed to abandon what God is telling you to do and go do what he says do? All right. In other words, it is before their master they stand or fall. I have a dear friend that's had a ministry for nearly 40 years in this area. And I even worked in that ministry for 8 years. All right. This is what I wrote down. I was awakened at 3:30 and finally got up at 4 and began to pray in the Spirit. And the Lord brought up what I listened to. It was a round table with several people. And one of them just unleashed on him. It was kind of unlike this man because I've heard him before. He seems like a very eloquent speaker. And it was really out of character for him to say what he said. I was a little surprised. But the Lord was unhappy about it. All right. One more page here. God gives us all our assignments, and we will answer to Him, and He will ask us, what did you do with what I gave you to do? All right, this is Luke 15. We're right there. I'm not going to read all of it. It's the parable of the older brother. You know, the prodigal son. He went out and, you know, squandered everything, and the older brother was religious, and he wouldn't come into the feast because the father showed mercy on the prodigal son. Just that attitude. A step out of love is a step out of God's will. Right? All right. Matthew 18. We will read this one. Because frankly, getting up at 3:30, I'm kind of on fumes. This is 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but unto 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him his debt. And the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay all the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, that he should pay all that was due unto him. We are the family of God. We are to love one another, and forgive one another, and have each other's back. If a brother gets out of line, we take it to the Father, not talk bad about him. Christians must stand together, for we are the biggest threat against Satan, and our love for one another, it never fails. It'll never fail. So it's going to make me view things differently from here on out whenever I come across someone like that, that take it to the Lord. Let the Lord tell you what to do. All right, one more thing, we'll be done here. Ephesians chapter 4. It's talking about the ministry gifts here and the purpose for the ministry gifts. 11 says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that's what this is all about. It's the leaders that bring the correction. Somebody's out of line, the leaders bring the correction. The fivefold ministry gifts. And that way, you know, they hear the word of God or they don't hear the word of God. All right, one more scripture. This is 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In other words, it's not any Christian's place to tell another Christian they need to step up and they need to get stuff. Because I've heard it more than that time. That one was just exceptionally harsh to me. But I've heard that many times about, why don't y'all do something? Like, they're doing it all and you're doing nothing. How can they know that? We are only responsible for what God tells us we need to do. I mean, I know there's things, all kinds of things in the Word it says to do. When it talks about all the stuff that He wants you to do, feed the hungry and all, it lists all those things. It doesn't necessarily mean you'll do all of those things. You may just do one of those things, but you're in the lineup. So as long as you're obeying God, don't let that intimidate you. All right, I'm going to just cut it there.